There are four great questions that every single religion in the world tries to answer. Every religion, including atheism, which is a religion. You see, you have to believe there is no God. There's no way to know that. But every religion tries to answer these four fundamental questions of life. Who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going when I die? The way you answer these questions depends upon how you view the world. There are two ways to look at this world. Some people look at the world and say, you know, it's amazing. A big bang made this from nothing. That's called the humanist worldview. Other people look at the world and say, you know, there's incredible design. There must have been a designer. And that's called the creationist worldview. And those two worldviews are absolutely at war with each other. Somebody is wrong. And I enjoy showing them who they are. I do a lot of debates. Universities have had 3 debates in the last 9 days. Been traveling all over the country doing debates, and I've had 77 altogether now. Can't wait for my next one, but we can't find any more opponents. They don't want to defend the idea that we all came from a rock 4.6 billion years ago, I guess, and we're running out of opponents. But the idea that evolution is true, I think, is not only silly, I think it is dangerous. But if the evolution theory is true, how would you answer the four fundamental questions of life? Who am I, and what am I worth? Well, if evolution is true, you are nothing important. You're just a piece of protoplasm that washed up on the beach. And you're not worth a thing. Actually, you're part of the problem because you're one of the polluters of the environment. And the more of you we can get rid of, the better. See, that's normal thinking if evolution is true. Where did I come from? Well, if evolution is true, we all came from a cosmic burp about 20 billion years ago. Why am I here? What's the purpose of life? Well, if evolution is true, there is no purpose, so you might as well have fun. If it feels good, do it. Where am I going when I die? Well, if evolution is true, we're all going to the grave and we're going to get recycled into a worm or a plant. But the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, if that's true, that puts a very different set of answers to those questions. That means we better try to figure out who God is and find out what he wants and do what he says. But boy, the devil doesn't like that. The devil came to Eve in the Garden of Eden. He said to the woman, "Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Question mark. Did you know the first sentence out of the devil's mouth was a question to make Eve doubt God's word? He's still doing the same thing today. He wants you to doubt God's word. The second thing he said to the woman, he said, "Ye shall not surely die." Now he's calling God a liar. The third thing he said was, "Eve, if you eat off that tree, ye shall be as gods." And right there is where the whole idea of evolution got started. It didn't start with Charlie Darwin. It started with Satan in the Garden of Eden. He wants you to think you can become a god. Yes, boys and girls, we started off like an amoeba, and we're evolving. We're getting bigger and better and stronger and smarter, and someday we're going to sail around the universe and discover new life forms like Star Trek. People ask me all the time. They say, "Brother Hovind, do you think there's intelligent life on other planets?" I say, "No. I taught high school 15 years. There's not much intelligent life on this planet." Satan's a liar. Well, I'll tell you what, a lot of folks have swallowed that, though. The Mormon church teaches if you're a good Mormon, when you go to heaven, you get to be God. And if you're a good Mormon wife, when you go to heaven, you get to be eternally pregnant, producing spirit babies. My wife don't want to go. He said, "That's not heaven, honey." And by the way, there are some great books to reach Mormons. And if you want to reach Mormons, get any of these books here on the screen. I'd recommend that 100%. This is a good website to reach Mormons, utlm.org, Utah Lighthouse Mission. If you want to get that awesome website on the reaching the Mormons. I was shocked to find out a couple years ago, some of the major Catholic theologians of the past have taught that man gets to become God. Now, the average Catholic doesn't believe that, and they don't even know some of their leaders have taught that. But that's official doctrine, that man can become God. The idea that man can become God came from the devil in the Garden of Eden. He's the one who wants to be God. Lucifer said, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." You see, the devil wants to be God. But the job is not available. So he's all upset about that, and he can't be God. So he's mad at God. But he can't do anything to God, so he's mad at us. Because we are made in God's image. Did you ever wonder why the devil hates you so bad? It's because you remind him of God. So he lied to Eve and told her she could become like God. Hitler said, "If you tell a lie long enough and loud enough and often enough, the people will believe it." He said they're more likely to believe a big lie than a small one. Now, if you want to get somebody to believe a lie, you have to do it like my two big brothers did with me. I have two older brothers. They've always been older than I am. But when I was about 6 years old, I was raised in East Peoria, Illinois, and I came running in for breakfast one morning, and I was the first one there for breakfast. And I got the last banana out of the bowl to put on my cereal. Well, a few minutes later, my two big brothers came in. They said, "Hey, Kent, is that the last banana?" I said, "Yep," and I got it. How many of you have an older brother or sister? You know that wonderful feeling you get when you finally pull one over on them? Boy, that morning I had them. I had them, and I knew it. They wanted my banana. But big brothers do not beg little brothers for anything. They either beat them up and take it away by brute force, or they lie to them and trick them out of it somehow. So my brother said, "Hey, Kent, do you know how bananas are made?" I said, "No." I was only 6 years old. It's been proven in laboratory tests the brain doesn't even start to grow until kids are 18 to 20. How many parents can verify that one from raising kids? Yeah. I said, "No, how are bananas made?" And they said, "Well, down in South America, they have these spiders that live up in the trees. And when they die, all their legs fold up, and then mold begins to grow on the dead spider legs. And a banana is actually made from moldy spider legs." I said, "You guys are lying to me. You just want this banana because you know it's the last one." They said, "No, brother, we're not lying. You cut that thing in half and look in the middle, you can still see the black spots where his legs were." You know, I did not eat bananas for nearly 3 years after that. They lied to me. Have you ever been lied to before? And I would not have believed that lie if it hadn't been for those black spots. If you want to get somebody to believe a lie, you have to mix it in with some truth. That's a technique they've been using for years to sell all sorts of different products. They mix two things together that do not belong together. That's what they do to kill rats. They mix good food and rat poison together. Did you know rat poison is 99.995% good food? There's very little poison in rat poison. But the poison is what kills them, of course. They mix two things together that simply don't belong together. They do the same thing to sell cigarettes. They mix them in with cowboys. Have you stopped and thought about that? What is the connection between smoking Marlboro and cowboys? Do all cowboys smoke Marlboro? No. Do you have to smoke Marlboro to be a cowboy? No. If you start smoking Marlboro, do you become a cowboy automatically? No. You may smell like a horse, but you are not a cowboy. Actually, it's been proven in laboratory tests that nobody in the world smokes. Nobody smokes. Only the cigarette smokes. The person is the sucker. That's all. I think they ought to have some truth in advertising. They should put the real name on those things. They should call them cancerettes, breath rotters, bypass, malignant phlegm balls, and money suckers. Truth in advertising. You know, but they do the same thing to sell beer. They try to associate beer with sports. What does beer have to do with sports? They always get some big old football player standing there holding his can of Bud Dumber. Or Bud Stupid. You know, they call him Bud Wiser, but it don't make him any wiser, that's for sure. He's got his Bud Dumber, Miller Low Life, or Dead Dog, whatever it is. He says, "Man, you drink this stuff and you'll be a football player." Yeah, right. Bible says, "You drink that stuff and you will wreck your life. Who hath woe? They that tarry long at the wine." How many lives have been ruined from alcohol? How many innocent lives have been ruined because somebody else was drinking and ran into them or ran over them or something? Bible says, don't even look at it when it becomes fermented. Habakkuk said, "Woe to him that giveth his neighbor drink." One kid said to me one day, he said, "What's the matter, Mr. Hovind? Don't you like beer?" I said, "I don't know. I've never tasted it. I'm 50 years old. Never had a drop in my life." Well, I've had NyQuil a couple times. And he said, "Well, how do you know you won't like it if you don't try it?" I said, "Oh, son, that's a brilliant way to live. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever laid your head under a semi-truck?" "Well, how do you know you won't like it if you don't try it?" You don't have to try everything to figure out if it's good or bad. There's other ways to learn, you know. But this mixing of the good and the bad together is exactly what's going on in our science textbooks. Now, folks, I like science. I taught it for 15 years. I even have a PhD in education. Stands for post-hole digger. Got one. I'm not against science. I want two kids here that like science that would like to learn the scientific way to shoot a rubber band. Okay, right there, ma'am. Do you know how to do this already? No, come on up here. Come on up here. And one more. Let's get one boy up here. One boy that wants to learn the scientific way. You can shoot. Come on. You want to learn this? You can be a movie star, too. People are going to see this all over the place. Now, what's your name?
Lindsay.
Lindsay, and this is?
Aaron.
Aaron. Let me get my rubber bands here. I just happen to have a few rubber bands. Okay. Lindsay, pick a rubber band out of there.
Okay.
And Aaron, right? I want you to see how far down the center aisle you can shoot that rubber band. Okay, Lindsay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, right there. Ooh, wow. About 8 rows back. Okay, Aaron. Ooh, about 9 rows back. Now, I know the scientific way to shoot a rubber band. In just a moment, you're going to ask me a question. And the question has 5 words in it. I already know the question that you're going to ask me. Huh. Watch this. You ready? Back row of the church. And the question is,
how'd you do that?
How did you do that? I told you, it had five words in it. Now, I am fully aware of the fact that some people should not learn how to do some things.
He's one of them.
He's one of them. She says he's one of them. Okay. Now, pay attention. There are two sides to the rubber band. Are you with me so far? Okay. One side represents your flesh, your body. The other side is your spirit. What most people do wrong, and what both of you did wrong with rubber band shooting, you put the same emphasis on the flesh and the spirit. If you stretch both sides the same, when it goes through the air, if you could watch it in slow motion, they are fighting with each other all the way. So all the energy is being used up on internal turbulence. Not good. The secret to high-speed velocity through a fluid medium such as the atmosphere, which offers resistance, is to minimize or eliminate the turbulence. All I did differently when you weren't watching is I put one side tighter than the other, like this. This is tight. Loose. Okay. Now, what's going to happen, if you can release it quickly enough, it takes a little practice, but it'll spin through the air, taking away the turbulence, so the spirit actually leads the flesh. So when I'm standing up here speaking, realizing I can hit anybody in the room. It's an awesome feeling. You can understand that, can't you?
Yeah.
Yes, you can. Hey, thanks. Let's give a big hand. Have a seat. That is one of about 50 different science lessons we teach kids at our Dinosaur Adventure Land, how to shoot the rubber band the scientific way. And some of you are not going to go very far in your life because you put too much emphasis on the flesh. Quit emphasizing the flesh so much and start emphasizing the spirit, and you'll be amazed what you can do for the Lord. When we get done here today, we're going to make some paper airplanes that'll go about 400 feet during the break time. You can get on our website and see how to make those under long-distance airplanes. They're pretty cool, too. We like science. I'm not against science, folks, but I'm telling you, there's some poison mixed in with our science books. And that's what I want to show you today. I'm not against the science. I'm against the poison part. Here's a first-grade textbook. They tell the kids in first grade, Earth has changed much since its formation 4.5 billion years ago. Now, just hold on a minute. Is the Earth 4.5 billion years old? No, as we'll see in a minute. But if you tell that to a first grader, he's going to believe you. First graders believe everything you tell them. They believe bananas are moldy spider legs. I did. And then tell them again in second grade, since its formation 4.5 billion years ago, Earth has changed. Down here it says, life too has evolved on Earth. This word evolved is a very tricky word. I've had 77 debates now at universities. I've learned how to win the debate in the first 5 minutes. If somebody says, do you believe in evolution? I simply say, what do you mean? Because there are six different meanings to that word. You let them define exactly what they mean, and you probably believe in it. Because one of the six meanings is indeed scientific, and I do believe in it. Five of them are not scientific. They're silly. But they mix them all together like it's some kind of package deal, and you got to buy them all at the same time. This is how they confuse the kids. It's so simple. Now watch this. The first meaning of the word evolution would have to be cosmic evolution. Somewhere, somehow, time, space, and matter have to come into existence. The Bible answers that in 10 words. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, that's time. Time has 3 dimensions, past, present, future. You know, you can't be any place and be outside of time. It permeates everything. In the beginning, God created the heaven. Heaven is 3 dimensions, length, width, height. And earth, matter has 3 dimensions, solid, liquid, gas. A trinity of trinities in only 10 words. You know, you can't have any one of those without the other two. If you had matter but had no space, where would you put it? If you had matter and space but had no time, when would you put it? Those three come into existence simultaneously. The Big Bang Theory has to try to answer that. It's a dud. We'll talk about that in a minute. But you have to have what we call cosmic evolution. Secondly, there would have to be chemical evolution. If the Big Bang Theory is true, the Big Bang produced hydrogen and maybe some helium. Well, then how did we get all these other elements? People say, oh, it's done by fusion. Yeah, you can't get past iron with fusion. Better study that one out. Thirdly, we'd have to have what's called stellar evolution. The stars would have to evolve. Did you know nobody's ever seen a star forming? We see stars blow up all the time. It's called a nova or a supernova if it's a big one, but nobody's ever seen one form. One atheist I debated said, oh, we see a star forming right now in Crab Nebula. I said, no, you don't. You see a spot getting brighter. You are assuming a star is forming. It could be the dust is clearing and there's a star behind it. Nobody's ever proven the formation of one star. And yet there's enough stars out there that we know about that everybody on planet Earth can personally own 2 trillion of them to yourself. Those are the ones we know about. We don't know about the ones that we don't know about. Fourthly, there would have to be organic evolution. Somewhere, somehow, life has to get started from non-living material. The evolutionist is stuck with a very embarrassing position. He still believes in spontaneous generation, even though it was proven wrong 200 years ago. They're way behind the time in their science. Then we have to have what we call macroevolution. This is where an animal changes to a different kind of animal. Nobody's ever seen a dog produce a non-dog. You may get a big dog or a little dog, but you get a dog every time. And it could be that the dog, the wolf, and the coyote had a common ancestor. I wouldn't argue about that. But they're the same kind of animal. And every 5-year-old kid knows they are. Is anybody in here 5 years old? Who's 5 or 6? Yes, sir. Way at the back. What's his name? Sal. Okay, Sal, I want you to take a test here, buddy. Here we have a dog, a wolf, a coyote, and a banana. Which one is not like the others, Sal? The banana. Let's give him a hand. All right. This kid's 5 years old. He can figure it out. We got college professors that can't figure it out. They think everything's all the same kind. Yeah. The Bible says they're going to bring forth after their kinds, not after their species. Darwin's book was The Origin of Species. That's not even what the argument's about. What's the origin of kinds? That's where the argument ought to be. And a kind is those that can bring forth. That's how you determine what a kind is. A horse and a zebra can bring forth. A horse and a banana cannot. Lastly, we have what is called microevolution. I don't like that word. I think it confuses people, okay? But they call it microevolution. Okay, I think it ought to be called just a variation. Whatever you call it, it happens. Variations within the kind happen, folks. Some pretty bizarre variations. You know, big dogs and little dogs. No question. Variations happen. That one is scientific. It should not be called any kind of evolution, but they do it, so okay, we'll call it. The first five are purely religious. That's not part of science. The teachers are taught in their teacher's manuals, be sure to stress that the earth is billions of years old. Make sure the kids believe this. Now, I happen to be a little old-fashioned. I think in science class we should be teaching science. Things we can observe and study and test and demonstrate. Things like the first law of thermodynamics, which tells us matter cannot be created or destroyed. Well, everything's made out of matter, so if matter cannot be created or destroyed, how did the world get here? We're here, you know. So that leaves only two choices. Somebody made the world, or the world made itself. There's no other choice. Well, there are a few out there on the lunatic fringe who will tell you, we're not really here at all. We just think we're here. Okay, you can forget about those folks. We are here. So either somebody made the world like the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, or the world made itself like the humanists believe. Well, if the world just made itself, how did it get here? Well, the devil thought about that for a long time, and finally one day he came up with the Big Bang Theory. How many of you have ever heard of the Big Bang Theory before? I was on the airplane years ago flying from Dallas to San Francisco, the land of the fruits and the flakes. And I happened to sit right next to a professor from Berkeley, UCal Berkeley. I don't know if you folks here in Wisconsin have ever heard of Berkeley or not, but Berkeley is not a Bible college. So here I was on the airplane, sitting about that far away from this guy, and we started talking about creation and evolution. Everybody I sit by on the airplane wants to talk about that. So I talk about it with him. He said he believed in evolution. I said, yes, sir, I figured that. You have to teach at Berkeley. I said, tell me, sir, if you believe in evolution, how did the world get here? He said, it came from the Big Bang. I said, really? I'd like to hear about this. He said, you're a science teacher and you've never heard of the Big Bang? I said, oh, yes, sir, I've heard a lot about the Big Bang. And I believe in the Big Bang. But my Big Bang is a whole lot different than yours. You tell me about your Big Bang, and then I'll tell you about my Big Bang. And so the professor started off on one of those answers. It looked like it came straight from the textbook. He said, well, Mr. Hovind, I believe about 18 or 20 billion years ago, all the matter in the universe. Ooh, now that's a lot of stuff. And by the way, did you know the word universe comes from two Latin words? Uni means single. And verse is a spoken sentence. You know, we have verse and prose. Did you know we live in a universe, a single spoken sentence? God said, let there be. Now, that'll preach, brother. There's a sermon in there someplace, okay? And if you can't find it, you ain't got no preaching you at all, all right? All the matter in the universe was concentrated into one very dense, very hot region that may have been much smaller than a period on this page. What? Everything in the universe squished into a dot smaller than a period on a page? Whoa. That's one crowded dot. And heavy, too. Who held that thing up? By the way, this ain't the first time it happened, kids. This textbook says, someday all of the matter and energy will once again be packed into a small area, no bigger than the period at the end of this sentence. Then, another big bang will occur. It happens every 80 to 100 billion years. Did you know they cut down a tree to print that? Where's Al Gore when you need him? That's what I want to know, yeah. Now, this textbook author was brilliant. I could not believe how smart this guy was. He said, boys and girls, nothing really means nothing. You have to be at least that smart to write a book. He said, not only matter and energy would disappear, but also space and time. However, physicists theorize that from the state of nothingness, the universe began in a gigantic explosion. What? Yes, boys and girls, you see, one day, nothing exploded. And here we are. Oh, that explains it. That sure does. We could spend hours talking about the Big Bang Theory. Get my college class, CSE 101, if you want to get into a whole lot more. We took our seminar and stretched it out to 60 hours and chased every rabbit and kicked every dog. And we had a whole lot more stuff on the college class, CSE 101, 102, 103, and 104. Here's Discover Magazine from April 2002. They said, boys and girls, where did everything come from? Yes, right here it says, the universe burst into something from absolutely nothing. Zero. Nada. As it became bigger, it became filled with even more stuff that came from absolutely nowhere. How is that possible? Ask Alan Guth. His theory explains everything. Wow, I got to meet this Alan Guth guy. Alan Guth said in Scientific American, he said, boys and girls, the observable universe could have evolved from an infinitesimal region. In the Greek, that's a dot. He said, it's then tempting to go one step further and speculate that the entire universe evolved from literally nothing. Wow. Yes, boys and girls, you see, we all came from a dot, and the dot came from nothing. They call that science and put it in a science book? I think I'd call that a fairy tale and put it in the garbage. I said, Professor, well, what happened to your dot? He said, well, Hovind, about 20 billion years ago, all the dirt in the universe was in this one little bitty tiny dot. And it was spinning real fast. This is what the textbooks teach. It spun faster and faster. And one day, boom, it exploded. And the pieces flew off and they became galaxies and sun, moon, stars. And finally, people. And were nothing but stardust. I said, sir, may I ask you a few questions, please? He said, sure. What would you like to know? I said, well, you told me 20 billion years ago, all the dirt got together for this big squish and the big spin and the big bang. Where'd all this dirt come from? Who made matter? He said, we don't know about that. I said, okay, sir, now hold it. If I told you that I believe about 6,000 years ago, God created the heaven and the earth, then you're going to say, and where did God come from? And I don't know. But you said 20 billion years ago there was a big bang, and you don't know where the dirt came from. So basically, I believe in the beginning God, and you believe in the beginning dirt. Don't tell me my theory is religious and yours is science. Oh, no, no, no. They're both religious. Both creation and evolution are religious, but the news media and the textbooks try to make it appear as if this is an argument between religion and science. I did a debate in El Paso, Texas, and they said, religious and scientific leaders debate evolution. This is called slanted journalism. It was two religions debating each other, not science and religion. Evolution is a religion, not a science. Both views, both creation and evolution, are inherently religious. The difference is, the evolution religion is tax-supported. And they couldn't survive without tax support. I've been saying for years, anybody that wants to believe in evolution should start a private school and teach those that want. Who else wants to believe in evolution? It shouldn't be funded by public tax dollars. I mean, come on, it's a religion. Nothing but a religion. And by the way, these two timelines are the same information right here. I'll be referring to this throughout the seminar. The Bible teaches that about 6,000 years ago, God made everything. 4,400 years ago, there was a flood that destroyed everything. Jesus came 2,000 years ago. That's what starts our calendar. On this chart, every inch is 150 years. If I was to make the 20 billion year chart at the same scale as this one, this chart should actually be 2,100 miles long to match this scale. That would be from Pensacola to Portland, Oregon. I don't want to carry a chart that big, so I made a new scale for the other one, okay? Anyway, the professor said he did not know where the matter came from. I said, well, sir, could you tell me where the laws came from? You know, who made gravity? Who made the law of gravity? Centrifugal force, inertia. Who's the lawgiver? He said, we don't know about that. I said, well, sir, can you tell me where the energy came from? You know, it takes energy to make something move. Who bought the gas to run this machine anyway? He said, we don't know about that either. I said, sir, may I ask you another question, please? He said, sure. What else would you like to know? Else? What do you mean, else? You haven't told me nothing yet. I said, sir, does Berkeley have a merry-go-round? How many of you know what a merry-go-round is? You go round and round until you puke. You've been on them before? He said, no, we don't have a merry-go-round at Berkeley. I said, you ought to get one, man. You could learn some good science on a merry-go-round. If you put some fourth graders on a merry-go-round, are there any fourth graders in here this morning? Any, oh, man, all right. I like fourth graders. I spent the best 5 years of my life in the fourth grade. That was before they diagnosed ADD. We're going to put some fourth graders on the merry-go-round and get the high school football team out there to get it spinning clockwise as fast as it will possibly go. Now, if you have a digital watch, you may not know what clockwise means. Never mind. I'll explain it later. We're going to spin the merry-go-round clockwise. The kids are going to go through four phases. They start off in phase one. They're screaming at the football players. Come on, let's go faster, faster. Can't you go any faster? You get up around 30 miles an hour. The kids enter phase two, where they stop screaming. They just quietly concentrate on trying to hang on for dear life. You get up around 60 miles an hour. The kids enter phase three, where they start screaming again. But now they're screaming, stop, stop, please slow down. Don't stop, though. Keep going faster and faster. When you get to about 100 miles an hour, the kids enter phase four. That's where they begin to fly off the merry-go-round. Now, if you watch this carefully, if the kids fly off the merry-go-round, and the merry-go-round is going clockwise, when the kid flies off, the kid will be spinning clockwise until he encounters resistance, like a tree or telephone pole. That's because of a law in physics known as the conservation of angular momentum. You see, if a spinning object breaks apart in a frictionless environment, which is what the Big Bang would have been, all the matter in one spot, no friction, the pieces that fly off are going to spin the same direction as the original object because the outside is moving faster than the inside. And we could talk all day about the Big Bang theory and the conservation of all sorts of problems within our own solar system for the conservation of angular momentum. But the professor said, yes, I understand about the conservation of angular momentum. I said, well, good. Then would you answer me just one question? If the universe began as a swirling dot, shouldn't everything be spinning the same way? He said, yes. I said, well, did you know that two, maybe three of the planets are spinning backwards? Did you know that eight of the 91 known moons are spinning backwards? Sir, did you know some of the whole galaxies are spinning backwards? Why? He said, that's interesting. I said, no, sir, that's more than interesting. That's kind of hard on your Big Bang theory. He said, why do you think they're going backwards? I was hoping he was going to ask that. I said, sir, it's very simple. You see, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God did it that way on purpose, just to make the Big Bang theory look stupid. And it is stupid, okay? We cover lots more on that in our college class, CSE 101. I do believe in the Big Bang, though, because the Bible teaches the Big Bang. It says, the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. In the original Greek, that's a Big Bang. So there's going to be a Big Bang. It just didn't happen yet. So, kids, if you go to school and some professor says, do you believe in the Big Bang? You should say, yes, I do, and you better get saved and get ready for it. The Big Bang is coming soon to a city near you. Big Bang theory is a dud. They've known about it for a long time. We could talk for hours on the Big Bang theory. It is simply ridiculous. Get the book, The Evolution Cruncher. It's 900 pages, and it's $5. You can get it from our ministry and give those out to anybody you know that wants to learn a whole lot more about creation. The second law of thermodynamics is called, tells us that everything tends toward disorder. Did you know everything is falling apart? If you leave something alone for a while, it's going to rot, rust, die, break down, or fall apart. Nothing gets better by itself. The Bible teaches that. The heavens are the works of the hands. They shall perish. They wax old as doth a garment. Nothing gets better by itself. Take a look at your hairdo when you wake up in the morning. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Everything tends toward chaos. Here is Sue at 20. Here is Sue at 900, or at 90. And here is Sue at 3,000. Everything tends toward chaos, folks, and you will also be ready for that day. But the textbook says we're getting better. Yes, boys and girls, humans probably evolved from bacteria more than 4 billion years ago. Was your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa a bacteria? Now, the evolutionists will say, now, Hovind, don't you know you can overcome the second law by adding energy? They say the earth is an open system. It receives energy from the sun. Oh, and that's supposed to fix the problem, huh? Well, you got several real serious problems there, sir. First of all, the universe is a closed system by definition, not receiving any more energy. Secondly, adding energy is destructive unless there's something there to utilize the energy. an intelligent force. The Japanese added a whole bunch of energy to Pearl Harbor one day, didn't they? They didn't organize a thing for us, did they? We returned the favor and added some energy to a few of their cities a couple years later, didn't we? Didn't organize a thing. We've been adding energy to cities all over the world ever since, folks. Hadn't organized a thing. See, adding energy is destructive unless there's something to use the energy. The sun adds energy to your roof all day long. And it'll destroy the roof on your house, not build it. The sun will actually destroy your entire house if you don't keep fixing things. The sun will destroy the roof on your car, not build it. It'll destroy the paint job, not build it. There's only actually one thing that can use the sun's energy, and that is chlorophyll. And chlorophyll is a highly designed, complex molecule that uses the sun's energy. So when these evolutionists say, the sun adds energy and that somehow overcomes the second law, they're either dreaming or they're lying to you. It does not overcome the second law of thermodynamics. This textbook shows the kids a fossil starfish. And it says, boys and girls, 3.4 billion years old, the remains of the early ancestors of modern human beings. Was your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa a starfish? I bet he could pick oranges like crazy. All right, now please do not laugh at this next picture. This will be a picture of my brother when he first wakes up in the morning after his first cup of coffee, which apparently was a little too strong. By the way, kids, we have to warn this next generation. Listen carefully. Kids, do not drink coffee. Because if you drink coffee when you're young, when you get married, your babies will be born naked and illiterate. Don't drink that stuff. Okay. This will be my brother on the left. Now, here he is right there. Please don't laugh. Right there. Notice what the textbook says. Boys and girls, 30 million years ago. Kids, let me translate that for you. Anytime a textbook says millions of years ago, what it really means is long ago and far away. It means a fairy tale is coming next. That's your warning, fairy tale coming up. It says 30 million years ago, these critters evolved. Oh, there's that word again. You got to watch that one. Remember, it's got six different meanings. Be careful about that word. It says they're ancestral to both humans and modern apes. Ancestors to humans? Grandpa? Oh, big eyes you have, Grandpa. the better to see you with, my boy. You know, we've been teaching kids they're nothing but an animal, and today, a lot of them act like animals. A lot of folks can't figure it out. Barbara Reynolds figured it out. She's a journalist. She said, your kids go ape in school? Here's why. He's being taught evolution. Guess what, Johnny? You're an animal and share a common heritage with earthworms. You mean I'm just an animal? Okay. I don't even know what kind that one is. That's a porcupine. Mm-hmm. Hey, let me ask you a question. If evolution is true, how do we tell right from wrong? How do you tell right from wrong? If we were going to make a list of things to discuss, abortion, premarital sex, extramarital sex, theft, murder. Pick any topic, any moral issue, and before you decide what's right and wrong, you have to decide how you decide. Do you decide right and wrong based upon majority opinion? Do you decide right and wrong based upon what Congress thinks is right or wrong? Is there an absolute standard someplace? How do we tell right from wrong? Or does that change every generation with every new leader we get? Where's the standard? Have you noticed the rock music these days is so full of death and blood and destruction? Well, the Bible says, all they that hate me love death. How do you tell right from wrong? If evolution is true, there is no way to tell. One professor I debated said, there are no absolutes. I said, really? Are you absolutely sure? Well, wait a minute. How can I be absolutely sure there's no absolutes? Yes, there are absolutes, folks. Thus saith the Lord. That's absolute. And the Lord said, ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh, nor print any marks upon you. Some people apparently don't know, or they don't care, what God's Word says. How'd you like to marry that? Whatever it is. Now, well, the problem in America today, and in the world today, is we've lost our standard. We have no way of determining right from wrong. Get a bunch of carpenters together to build a building, but nobody can have the same ruler. Everybody gets a ruler that has a different standard. To one guy, this is an inch. The next guy, this is an inch. How's your building going to come up? Good luck. You have to have standards. We have a National Bureau of Standards to protect the standard meter, you know, the standard kilogram, the standard pound. You have to have standards. The problem is, in our morals in America, we no longer have any standards. We've thrown out the Bible and said, oh, well, if it feels good, do it. Well, look what you're going to get in your schools. We could spend hours talking about the loss of standards. We get into more of that on videotape number 5 about the effects of this evolution teaching. Teachers don't seem to understand it's perfectly fine for you to teach creation science in public schools. There's never been a law against teaching creation in public schools. Two states, Arkansas and Louisiana, passed laws requiring that creation be taught. Now, that's different. They required the teachers to teach creation, and the court struck both of those laws down. And then the ACLU, the American Communist Lawyers Union, said, see, you can't teach creation. That's not what the court said. The court said you cannot require that creation be taught. Even Stephen Gould said, no statute exists in any state to bar instruction in creation science. It could be taught before, and it can be taught now. That's what he said after the 1987, when the Supreme Court struck down the Louisiana law, the Balanced Treatment Act. Now, if a teacher does get up in their class and they teach evolution, if they tell you, okay, kids, you started off like a slime, and you slowly evolved to a human, you don't need to be a genius to figure out that teaching is going to destroy some kid's faith in the Bible. And anybody that spends their time destroying a child's faith better read what Jesus said. Whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Anybody that teaches evolution is in serious trouble when they stand before God. I don't want to be close to you on judgment day. You are in big time trouble. The Bible says, be not many masters, knowing we shall receive the greater condemnation. James 3. Back in the 50s, the average textbook in America had very little evolution in it. It really wasn't talked about much. And then in 1957, the Russians beat us in the space race. They launched Sputnik. And Americans panicked. How many of you remember the panic in America when they were beating us in the space race? People were building bomb shelters. I mean, the whole thing. It was really serious, wasn't it? And somebody said, you know, the reason the Russians are ahead in science is because they teach evolution in their schools. What does evolution have to do with putting up a satellite? Now, the reason they were catching up or beating us in science is because we had spies over here sending them all our information. I spoke in Russian. Trust me, you don't want what they've got. They've got a slogan over there. They say, what one American builds, 10 Russians cannot understand. What one Russian builds, 10 Americans cannot lift. Build it all out of concrete and steel. In 1959 was the 100-year anniversary of Darwin's book coming out. And so somebody said, wow, we have to get more evolution in the textbooks. So they lobbied Congress, and as far as I can figure out, the first time the government got involved in producing textbooks was in 1959, in the early 60s. It's interesting, the number of words teaching about evolution jumped from 2,000 to 3,000 to 33,000 just in a few years. Evolution became the state religion. By 1963, prayer was taken out of our schools. Anybody remember that? Madeline Murray O'Hare? By the way, since 1963, the number of words about evolution has diminished because the number of words in the textbook has diminished. The overall teaching has been dumbed down. The percentage has remained consistently high. 1963 is when sexually transmitted diseases began to skyrocket for 10 to 14-year-olds. Since 1963, the number of kids with premarital sex have increased radically. Since 1963. Unwed birth rates have gone up tremendously since 1963. Pregnancies have gone up over 500%. This is for 10 to 14-year-olds. The difference between those two numbers are those being aborted. We'll get into more on that on video number 4. Now, one-third of all the kids born at the hospital are born to a couple that is not married. Illegitimate children. And if you are one of those, you listen carefully. God loves you and He can use you in a powerful way. He said He'd be the father to the fatherless. If your parents messed up, you just shut your mouth and go serve God with your life, okay? Paul used Timothy in a great way. He was an illegitimate child, never should have been born. Unmarried couples living together has increased 725%. God's word hasn't changed. Whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. He said, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's one of the 10 commandments, not the 10 suggestions. And by the way, Jesus said, if you even look and lust, you've committed adultery already in your heart. Divorce rates have gone crazy in this country. Violent crimes have increased nearly 1,000%. I'm not that old, but I remember the days when you did not have to lock your house. Anybody else remember those days? And you left the keys in the ignition all the time. You never took them out because you might lose them. And you go to the average high school and half the pickup trucks in the parking lot had a loaded rifle hanging in the back window. And the truck wasn't even locked, and nobody got shot in school in those days, did they? Probably didn't hear about this, but the kids at Columbine High School that did all the shooting were very strong believers in evolution. They did the shooting on Hitler's birthday on purpose to commemorate Adolf Hitler. They shot Isaiah Scholes just because he was black. Hitler hated black people. More on that on video number 5. And right after the shooting, Rosie O'Donnell got on her program and said, "See, we need more gun control." Rosie, those kids broke 18 gun laws going into that school. You think 2 more gun laws would have stopped them? See, Rosie can't seem to figure it out. Can't seem to be able to figure it out. But one guy figured it out and put it on the tire cover on his van. And I saw that and I got a picture. I said, "Man, this explains the whole thing." He said, "Blaming guns for Columbine is like blaming spoons for Rosie being fat." It's not the spoon's fault, Rosie, okay? And it wasn't the gun's fault either. Okay, we could have a lot more on gun control in video 5. Very politically incorrect. You don't want to watch that one. SAT scores have plummeted since 1963. Actually, in 1995, they had to dumb down the test. They made the test easier to make the kids look smarter. Teen suicide rates gone crazy in this country. Now listen, if I told you, if you kiss a frog, it'll turn to a prince. You say, "No, frogs don't turn to princes." How many of you ladies got your husband by kissing a frog? Come on, now, be honest. Looks like only 2. Okay, good. It doesn't happen very often, but in the textbooks it does. "Yes, boys and girls, we started like an amoeba. We slowly evolved to a frog." There's Grandpa. "And then very slowly became a prince." You know, they're still teaching the same fairy tale. The only difference is, if the frog turns into the prince quickly, we call it a fairy tale. But if the frog turns into the prince slowly, we call it modern science. The only difference is time. See, boys and girls, a kiss won't do it now. Today you have to have billions and billions of years. How many have ever heard that expression before? Billions of years ago. Yeah, it's in the magazines, the National Pornographic, Geographic, I mean. Billions and billions of years ago. They teach it like it's some kind of fact of science, you know. Here's a 4th grade textbook. "Millions of years ago." Now, kids, listen. If anybody ever says, "Millions of years ago," just say, "Excuse me, were you there?" They'll say, "No, of course I wasn't there." And then say, "Now, teacher, do you know the earth is millions of years old? Or is this what you believe? Is this really part of science?" You see, science is things we can observe and study and test. Sometimes people say to me, "Well, Hovind, were you there when God made the world?" I say, "No." And I admit mine's a religion. Now, why don't you admit yours is a religion? And once we both admitted we have a religion, then answer my question. Why do I have to pay for your religion to be taught in our school system? That'll shut them up. Science is things we can observe and study and test. And the professors I debate will say, "Well, no, we can't observe the earth is millions of years old, but everybody believes it is." No, they don't. Most Americans think the earth is less than 10,000 years old and God made it. Only 4% are atheistic. I think that 4% ought to go start themselves a private school and teach evolution to anybody that wants to pay and come learn it. And they ought to get it out of our public school system. That's my humble, totally unbiased opinion. That's right. Now, it is true that slightly more than half of the scientists in America believe in evolution. Not all of them, but slightly more than half. Those are the ones that have not been to my seminar yet. But even if a bunch of scientists believe something, that doesn't make it true. And that's not how you determine truth. You know, majority opinion. The scientists used to teach all the planets go around the Earth. They used to teach big rocks fall faster than little rocks. That was taught for 2,000 years, and it's not true. They used to teach if you're sick, you have bad blood. Take out your blood, you'll get better. That's how George Washington died. There were places all over America to get your blood taken out if you were sick. You could tell where they were because they had a white pole with a red stripe around it. The barber was the bloodletter. Still is today, once in a while. And right beside George was a Bible that told him the life of the flesh is in the blood. Man, if they'd have read that verse, he might still be alive today. Well, he would live longer anyway. So, listen, if you went scuba diving and you found a treasure chest full of gold coins, and I asked you the simple question, when did the boat sink? You say, "I don't know." Well, look at the dates on the coins. If there's a coin in there from 1750, you ought to be able to figure out that boat sank after 1750. How many can figure this out with no help at all? It couldn't sink before that, right? You find the youngest coin in the box, and that becomes your limiting factor. Now, how old is the Earth? Well, there are some factors that limit the age of the Earth, just like the coins would limit the age the boat sank. There are all kinds of things that limit the age of the earth. We're going to cover those in the next session. Different ways to show the earth cannot be billions of years old. But if you found a fossil like a dinosaur bone, I've got a copy of one here on the table. The real one's in our museum. We have quite an interesting museum there in Pensacola. If you find a dinosaur bone, you should notice two things about it immediately. Number one, it does not talk. Number two, it does not have a date stamp on it. It does not say, made by a dinosaur in 70 million B.C. in Taiwan. They don't say that. So how would you tell the age of a fossil? How would you tell the age of the earth? Well, the only way to tell the age of something for sure is to find the guy who made it. He knows for sure how old it is. And the Bible says God created the heaven and the earth. And the Bible says Jesus created heaven and earth. Well, guess what? That's one of many verses that proves Jesus is God Almighty in the flesh. The Bible does teach the Trinity doctrine. Okay, all three are called God. And Jesus said in Matthew 19, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Same thing in Mark 10:6. Well, if that was the beginning, then we can figure out the age of the earth. Because you can go through the Bible and add up the dates. The Bible says death came because of sin. That's why we have death in the world. By man came death, the Bible says. In Adam, all die. Adam brought death into this world. And Adam was the first man. And Adam lived and with Eve. Eve was his wife, and Eve was the mother of all living. And Adam was 130 years old when his son was born. And that boy was 105 when his son was born. And that boy was 90 when his son was born. If you go through the Bible and add up the dates, you can make a graph like this one here. We've got these charts laminated if you want them for placemats when your skeptic friends come for lunch. Seems to be an interesting conversation. Or if you get our seminar notebook, the last page will fold out to be one of those charts right there. If you want to study some interesting stuff about the age of the earth. If you add up the dates in the Bible, it comes to about 4,000 B.C. Not millions of years ago, roughly 4,000 B.C. Now, I'm not one of those guys that tries to put an exact date on it. I don't say that the creation was 4,004 B.C., October 23rd at 2 in the afternoon. Okay, I don't think you can get that close from Scripture. I think Adam was made in the afternoon, because it was just before Eve. It's the only clue I found. And I can't prove this, but I think I figured out why God made Adam first. I think God made Adam first because he didn't want any advice on how to do it. How many agree with that one? I can see it now. No, God, you're doing it wrong. Now, B.C. means before Christ. Almost all new textbooks have changed it. They're now calling it B.C.E., before the common era. That's another long story, how Christ is gone from our schools. Of course, they blame God when something goes wrong, but, you know, they don't realize he's been kicked out. Here the textbook now says the earth is billions of years old. Jesus said the creation of Adam was the beginning. Was he lying? Did he not understand science? Or was he right? How old is the earth anyway? And who cares? What difference does it make? Oh, it makes a big difference, and we'll cover all that in the next session. How to prove this earth cannot be billions of years old. But then if it is only 6,000, what about dinosaurs? What about the Garden of Eden? Why did they live to be 900 years old? What about Grand Canyon? How did the light from the stars get here? Where did all the languages come from? Where did all the races come from? That's why my seminar is so long, folks. We cover all that stuff. I'm talking as fast as I can go, but we cover all that. Just hang in there. We'll get to more of that in the next session. Thank you so much.